Joel, hello. Can we please talk about UFC Orlando? Took place at the weekend. Terrific card. Also, I'm going to be running through the PFL Finals 2022 results because I've gotten into that as well. So basically, yeah, the PFL Finals. I just started getting into PFL. I watched the finals just recently because UK fans, it's on Channel 4. I had no goddamn idea. I did wonder, where can I watch PFL? Because I've been interested to see what their product is like. And it turns out it's on Channel 4. You can watch it on demand. It's absolutely brilliant. And I love the format. I love the presentation. You know, you've got Randy Couture on commentary. The whole presentation's very slick. They've got the stats up on the screen as they're happening. The speed of the strikes, the actual strike count as it's happening. It's got a very slick, very NFL feel to it. And the fact that the fighters for each weight class are in an 8-month tournament to get to the grand prize of $1 million, there's something very epic about that. I love what they're doing because it's very different to how the UFC have approached it, because you're not going to go head-to-head with the UFC and win because they're too big at this point. But at least PFL, they're taking a slightly different vantage, a slightly different route, and they're producing something very, very interesting, and I would implore you to go and watch it. So the big winners, obviously, had Rob Wilkinson, who was Israel Adesanya's debut fight in the UFC. He's since gone on like a 9-fight win streak, and now he's won the light heavyweight title in PFL for 2022 against actually a very good opponent, Akhmedov, I think his name, Omar Akhmedov, anyway. I forget his name. I should have written that down. That was terrible. But anyway, he looked great. He looked very, very good. Great moustache as well. Very, very strong. Strong performance. I look forward to seeing more of it. Olivier Aubin Mercier, one of the best right hook KOs I've seen in recent memory, over Stevie Ray. Shame for Stevie Ray. Huge fan of Stevie Ray. I'm sure he'll be back. But Aubin Mercier, better man on the day. Absolutely brilliant. What a great finish. Go back and watch that. Go back and just catch that fight. I would implore you to go back and watch all these fights. Brendan Loughnan as well. Very, very likable. One of the reasons I went to watch the PFL is because I saw Brendan on the Believe You Me podcast. And I was like, damn, like this guy from Manchester, he just seems really fun. Really, really kind of just nice and kind of similar to Volkanovski. He seems like somebody it would be nice to sit and have a beer with, just to sit and hang out with. And you know what? Absolutely over the moon for him. What a fantastic performance. He put it on his opponent, Bubba Jenkins, who's good in his own right, actually. Bubba Jenkins is a decent opponent, good wrestler. And the fact that Loughnan was able to stop the takedowns and keep it standing and just impose his will was very, very impressive. And I look forward to seeing more of that guy. You know, he's got $1 million in the bank now. And yeah, just fantastic, fantastic stuff. Kayla Harrison, obviously, she's been like one of the main prospects in PFL. You would have heard her name a lot. She got beaten by Larissa Pacheco, who I think it was their third time fighting. She'd been beaten twice. Pacheco managed to get the win. Very hard-fought contest, very even contest, but man, it was good. It's always nice to see an underdog come out on top. And it was just a very nice end tonight. Absolutely love that format. I'm really big into it. I'm going to be really tuning in to the PFL's whole tournament next year. So UFC Orlando, what takeaways from that is Rafael dos Anjos has still got it, right? Because I picked him to win by submission, got 4-1 on that as well, FYI, because I thought that was just the most obvious, easiest path to victory for him. He was never going to engage like Robbie Lawler did. He wasn't going to engage in the kind of fight that Barbarena required him to engage in, and he didn't. He's a smart guy. He's the crafty veteran. And RDA looked every bit of that crafty veteran on Saturday night. Fantastic performance. Now, my question is, does he stay at welterweight or not? Because he's a little bit undersized at welterweight, but there are some interesting matchups there. One interesting matchup, I would say, is maybe Stephen Thompson, because I'll tell you what, he certainly wouldn't be letting Stephen Thompson up, broken hand or not. I don't think RDA would be letting him off the hook that easy. Then you look at the lightweight fights. Maybe a fight with Gaethje or Chandler would be really fun as well. And obviously, he's looking for the Conor McGregor fight. There's a few options for RDA at this point. Far from done. And I'm really happy about that because he's a great talent. He really is. Always fun to watch. Always rooting for RDA. My question is, before this fight, how was Roman Dolidze not ranked? I thought Roman Dolidze was definitely ranked. But anyway, he came in short notice to replace Derek Brunson, who was supposed to be fighting Jack Hermanson, but Either way, what a brilliant win. He got him, he got Jack Hermanson, he got his back, got him into a calf slicer, and then pinned him on the floor and just bashed his head in until the referee pulled him off. That's what she said. And then it was just, I've never seen anything like that before. It was similar to how some fighters will use a crucifix, just pin their opponent down and just like smack them in the head, and their opponent is pinned. I've not seen anybody pinned with that particular move before, but the effect was roughly the same. But although calf slices, they do hurt. It's tough to submit people with them. Well, high-level guys anyway, submission guys, BJJ guys, difficult to get in with that because it's a pain thing more than it is, oh, my leg's going to break. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, brilliant win. Absolutely fantastic. I think that, really, Roman Dolidze should be fighting the winner of Du Plessis versus Darren Till, and the loser of that fight takes on Jack Hermanson. There you go. These matchups are just, they're making themselves, guys. They're making themselves. Pavlovich was exactly as I feared. He was just a bit too much for Tuivasa. So look, don't get me wrong. There was still plenty coming back his way, but Tuivasa just didn't land those big hits, and it was a mess. It was quick. It was messy. It was violent. That is what Pavlovich is all about. And he's been quietly going through this division. He's a real dark horse. Next for him has got to be Cyril Garn. Cyril Garn is the only man ranked above Pavlovich that is not linked to a fight with John Jones. They're two good strikers. I'd be intrigued to see how Garn approaches the real danger that Pavlovich presents. And it'll be interesting to see if Pavlovich can in turn solve the puzzle that is Cyril Garn. That's the matchup that I want. That's what I want. Make that happen. Stephen Thompson versus Kevin Holland. What an outstanding fight. Absolutely brilliant. You got to really see what Stephen Thompson is capable of. One of the most elegant, fluid strikers that the UFC has ever seen. And you really saw that on display. But mostly because Holland allowed that. Now, caveat on that. Some people are speculating that the reason that Holland let Thompson up, because Holland got him in top position a couple of times in a scramble, and Holland is a BJJ black belt. We know that that was the path of least resistance for him, but he did let him back to the feet, and he was waving him on almost like, yeah, no, stand up, because I want to see if I can beat you standing. But it may have been him bluffing because his hand was so fucked, because his hand is broken real bad, and it got broken early, got broken in round one, apparently. So, like, trying to grip somebody and grapple somebody on the ground and get a submission is going to be very, very difficult. Probably more difficult than just gritting your teeth and just throwing that hand. So that could have been the reason that he let him up, but we just don't know that for sure. It looked like he was letting up through hubris, through overconfidence in his stand-up, or wanting to test his stand-up, which ultimately didn't end well for him, because Stephen Thompson, as we saw, he put it on display. He's one of the best strikers. If he hasn't got the takedown or the grappling to worry about, he's one of the best strikers that you will see. If you didn't catch that fight, go back and watch it. It was tremendous. So just a quick one to say thank you for watching. If you could please hit like, hit subscribe, share this video around, because I'm just trying to grow this podcast and I need you guys to do it. So thank you for your support, and yeah, look forward to more of it. So I'm going to very quickly run through the news in 60 seconds. So Brendan Loughnane becomes the first UK PFL champion in 2022, winning the featherweight title. Absolutely fantastic performance. Kayla Harrison has fallen. Her undefeated record is no more, thanks to Larissa Pacheco. Then you've got England putting Wales out of the World Cup, and England have also beaten Senegal, so they are going to be playing France in the next round of the knockouts in the World Cup on Saturday. That's going to be, I'm going to be watching that and Rough and Rowdy, because Rough and Rowdy is also on Saturday. Artem Lobov is suing Conor McGregor for some shares in Proper 12, after the Proper 12 sale. I'll be going more into that in a second. And the new UFC 282 main event is set. Jan Blachowicz will be taking on Magomed Ankalaev for the vacant UFC light heavyweight title. And that's about 60 seconds. So, expanding more on why Artem Lobov is suing Conor McGregor. Basically, Artem says that he put together the Proper 12 deal. He wants his 5%. 5% of that sale would be $12 million. So I don't blame him for shooting his shot. Joey, he should shoot his shot. Because if that's true, if Conor said that he would pay him that, said that he would have that money, then yes, If Connor didn't make good on that promise, then suing him is the only option. And he must have a case because it's going to court and it's already been made fairly public. So Connor has since come back and said that he would like to fight Artem Lobov in the gym. In, I'll put you down to SPG, we'll duke it out. Obviously, off the back of that, you've got some of the smaller promotions, such as Bare Knuckle FC, obviously throwing their two cents in saying, oh, guys, why don't you come? We'd be happy to host this fight in our ring. You could settle it on TV. It's like, shut the fuck up. That's so desperate. You reek of desperation, guys, because you know that Conor McGregor is under contract with the UFC. Not that he would ever even consider going to bare knuckle boxing, because he's just not desperate enough. The whole thing reeks of desperation, if you ask me. Why even put it out there? It really does. It makes you look so bad. Just go off, do your thing, right? But it's the same with like Bellator, when they pipe up and go, oh, Francis, why don't you come over to Bellator? Because we know how to pay our fighters properly. It's like, shut up, Scott. You know how to pay 5 fighters properly. They're all ex-UFC fighters or Fedor. And the rest of the fighters all get paid very little. I've seen your disclosed purses. You know how to pay 5 or 6 fighters properly. Shut up, Scott. What I'm saying is, you don't have to be a slimy sleazebag to be a fight promoter, but it certainly helps. And so last thing I want to look at is that Costa, he has been getting into the wine again, which is pretty funny. Because, you've got him saying he wants Elon to buy TikTok, please delete it, buy All Comedian Club and fired Brendan Schaub. Terrible English, but I love the sentiment behind it. I'm kidding, I like Brendan Schaub, he gets a lot of shit. Now Boccini is piling on. I don't know what Brendan Schaub said about him, he must have said something. Please buy new eye to Bisping, give him retirement from commentating, or from UFC hosts. I'm assuming he means commentator, but yeah. I like Bisping as a commentator, but he must have said something again about Borchina. But Borchina has been getting into the wine. Tell you what, give Borchina more wine, get him on Twitter more. That's what I want. That is all I want for Christmas this year, is a drunk Paulo Costa on Twitter. That's all I've got time for tonight. I'm going to be breaking down a few fights from UFC 282. That's going to be taking place on Saturday. So until then, keep those odds long and those bets terrible.